Welcome to Faith for Living. What we're going to learn today is faith for living doesn't just begin at the start of the Christian life, but you can have it all the way home. Welcome to Faith for Living.
From Charlotte, North Carolina, this is Faith for Living with Dr. Michael Milton. This week, Dr. Milton brings a message, Growing in Joy All the Way Home. Most things that we deem important are usually things that satisfy or fulfill a need. But while circumstances often drive what we consider important, what is it that should really matter to us? The scripture reference we'll be focusing on today is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. Well, right now, let's rejoin Dr. Mike Milton with the message, Growing in Joy All the Way Home.
As we said, the Apostle Paul is writing a letter about the life of joy. The context in which we live is a life of sorrow, whether it's the horrific shootings that are happening in our schools, the divorce rate in the Christian church, which is not that much different than it is outside of the church, the plight of the poor, injustice, and then just living in a fallen world where there's sickness, trials of every kind. How is it that we can talk about a life of joy against that context? I love it that God meets us where we are. That's what He did in Jesus Christ. It's really what He does throughout all of the Bible. The Psalms reflect our emotions. It's as if God is saying, through Jesus Christ, I identify with you. I've not only made you, I know your frame. I know what you're made of. I know the trials and the difficulties and the sorrows of this world, a world which is this way because of the fall. But because of redemption in Jesus Christ, something new has entered the world so that even against the dark backdrop of sin and brokenness and heartache, we can have truly a life of joy. And the way that is exhibited, one way is in Paul's letter to the Philippians, where Paul is writing from prison. Literally from a dark background, he burst forward with the sunlight of joy. And it's not fake. It's not a joy that comes from acting. But as we're going to even hear in this passage, a joy that comes from yearning, a deep embedded gift of God that the Apostle Paul has and wants to give to the Philippians, and God wants to give to you today. Let's read about having a life of joy all the way home. That's Paul's prayer for the Philippians, and my prayer for you. As we read today from Philippians chapter 1 and beginning in verse 8, and we'll read through verse 11. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. Let's pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How is it, then, that we can have joy and have that joy growing? Now, for most people, there is a joy in Christianity at the beginning. You've heard the gospel. You've heard that you can be forgiven. Old sins are cast away as far as the east is from the west. You hear those passages. You hear that word proclaim. You're set free and you're joyful. But pretty soon, you begin down the journey of life, and it's kind of like going to college or where you're excited at the beginning and then the papers are due. Or going to work and you're excited that you got a job, but then the first project comes that is so difficult. In a similar way, the Christian life begins with exuberation. Maybe even a falsely grounded euphoria. Not recognizing that the Christian life is to take up your cross. That the Christian life involves living a life of faithfulness that may result in persecution. And so Paul knew these things as he's writing to the Philippians, and he wants them to see that there can be continued growth in the Christian life, even at his stage of faith. And anyone would say that was an advanced stage of faith, and yet he was in prison. How do you continue to grow behind bars? How do you continue to grow specifically in joy in the Christian life? And grow in that joy all the way home. I say all the way home because if you heard the passage Paul talks about in this prayer. Remember, the prayer begins with is part of an introduction that includes a thanksgiving and a prayer for them, and then he moves to the body and the conclusion. But within this prayer for them, he is praying for them all the way to this phrase in verse 10, the day of Christ. He's speaking about the same thing that he talked about in verse 6, where he says, "And I am sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it all the way to the day of Jesus Christ." What is that day? That's the day when Jesus Christ comes again. Or it may be the day that you meet Jesus Christ face to face through the passageway of death. But it is the ultimate day when our Christian life climaxes with meeting the one who saved us. And Paul is saying, my prayer for you is that you will continue to grow in the Christian life all the way until that day. Now, if he's praying that, it's possible for that to happen. It's possible for you to live like that. It's possible for me. How? Well, let's look in God's Word. That's how we get the answers. And the first way is right from the passage where Paul himself in verse 8 says, "For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." Listen carefully. The way that you will grow in the Christian life is through the prayer of another. Your growth in the Christian life is not dependent solely upon your own struggles and your own faithfulness even, but it is through the prayers of another. Paul prays for the Philippian church. And that's a gift. Their growth in joy all the way home to the Lord Jesus Christ is going to happen in part because they have a faithful pastor, church planter. That was his first church plant, who is praying for them. You grow in the Christian life because someone prays for you. Many years ago, I was a prodigal son. I went far afield from the things that my Aunt Eva taught me as a little boy. But wherever I went, in mind or body, there was a shadow behind me. And that shadow was the shadow of the presence of Aunt Eva and her prayers. She would tell me later, "I never stopped praying for you." And my prayer was a deep prayer that came out of my heart and my love and what God had done in my own life. And how I had committed, dedicated you to Him. And so I prayed for you every day. And I prayed with optimism. I prayed with confidence. I knew wherever you were, whatever you were thinking, however far astray you were never so far that God couldn't find you. You were never so far that God wouldn't keep you and bring you home. You know, there could be someone listening today who's that prodigal. You're not the one praying, you're the one running. Or you're the one who's in trouble. You may literally be someone who's in prison. And there's a shadow behind you of a godly old father or mother or a pastor or a sister or a brother or a friend. And like the Apostle Paul, they're praying for you that you can come home. And that ought to bring you joy today, my beloved, that whatever your estate in life, that someone close to you, someone from your past, someone from that little church where you went as a little child, is praying for you. You say, "How do you know anyone's praying for me?" The writer to the Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ ever lives to intercede for the saints, to pray for us. You see, I know this. According to God's word, Paul is modeling the life of Jesus, who is ever praying for his people. One of the ways that we grow then, the first way that we see in this passage, is not through anything that we do, but through the faithful prayers of another, even if that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's the greatest one. And that's the great promise that you have, that he always lives. That's his primary ministry now. He's ascended into heaven. He's coming again. But right now, as the Holy Spirit moves upon the lives of his people, prayers ascend from others to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are perfected in him, and he prays for you. And through his prayer, we know joy. That's one way That's verse 8. Growth is connected to someone who is praying for you. Now, Paul also says that he loves the Philippians. Paul is a joyful man because from Paul, there's so many wonderful things that flow, and one of those is love, but not just any love. He says in verse 8, "For God is my witness, and I yearn for you all. I yearn for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more." Growth in the Christian life and growth in joy in the Christian life is connected not only to the fact that someone is praying for you, but that you are loving others. So again, the attention is not necessarily on you. What can be done for me that I may be more joyful? Well, first of all, it's that someone else is praying for you. That's how joy happens in the Christian life. Christ is praying for you. That's how you grow, through Christ and His prayers, but also through your love for other people. Paul says, "My prayer is that your love will abound more and more." Your love for whom? For God? Yes. For God, and also for others. What we see in this is that Paul yearns, he says, with the affection of Christ Jesus. So watch this. Out of the love that the Apostle Paul has experienced in Jesus Christ, he begins to pray that love may explode in the lives of the Philippians. The love that you will have for others will only come about when you know the love of Jesus Christ that He has for you. As you know His love in your life, you're able to love others. And when you love others, your wife, well, yes, your husband, of course, children, yes. But how about the more difficult people? Jesus said that we were to literally love our enemies. I once had someone tell me that Christians are an acquired taste. I understood what he meant. Sometimes we say things that we shouldn't say. Sometimes I do that. Do things that we shouldn't do. We're called to a higher standard, and we don't meet it. And so all of that can lead us to thinking that the church is nothing but a bunch of hypocrites and people who have a lofty goal, but they can never meet it. And we can seem like the most unlovable people. That's who Jesus came to save. That's who Jesus loved when He looked down from the cross and said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." No greater love hath a man than he lay down his life for others. Out of the affection of Jesus Christ, the love that Christ had for you, you will love others. It won't be an effort. It will be a spontaneous combustion of affection because of what Christ has done for you. You'll learn that, like we see in Paul, we can be more patient with others because God was patient with us. We can be long-suffering with others because God was long-suffering with us. The Christian life is like a garden. And Paul says, what I want to abound more and more in the garden of the Philippian church is love. Christian, how does your garden grow? As love grows, for others from you, so you will grow in Christ in joy. There's another way in this passage that we can grow, not only in prayer and in our love for others, but Paul says as our love is abounding, that something else should be abounding, knowledge and discernment. That's his prayer for the Philippian church. I pray that your love will abound more and more with knowledge and discernment. Now, if you separate those, knowledge is the collection of factoids. It's a gathering of data. The internet is filled with facts. It's filled with knowledge. But Paul doesn't separate knowledge from discernment, discernment being discriminating between this or that. Paul puts them together, and when you put knowledge and discernment together, do you know what you get? You have godly wisdom. When you connect love and discernment along with knowledge, you get godly wisdom. And Paul is praying that there will be a growth of godly wisdom in the Philippian church. That's the Lord's desire for you. Yes, you grow in knowledge of the Scriptures, knowledge of God's love for you. Yes, you grow in discernment between what is right and what is wrong as you read and study God's Word, and the Holy Spirit applies God's Word to your life. And as you're loving others and growing in your knowledge and growing in your discernment, something happens. You begin to grow in godly wisdom. You don't have to have a PhD to meet the criteria here. I mentioned my Aunt Eva, as I often do. I'll always remember that some of the wealthiest, more prominent people in our little rural community would come to her, sometimes on their knees in tears. I'll never forget a banker in tears before my Aunt Eva, on his knees with his head in her lap. She didn't even have a high school education. She had dropped out to take care of her siblings when her mother was sick. And there he was, a college-educated man running a bank, asking Aunt Eva questions of life. Because though she didn't have degrees, she had love for that man. She had knowledge of the Word of God, and she had grown in discernment. When you put those together, that is wisdom. Not only will you be able to share that wisdom with others, you'll be able to apply it for your own life and for your family. And do you know what that brings? That brings joy. Prayer, love for others, godly wisdom. And all of this is connected, as I said, to a homecoming. To coming to the one who saved you. And now we're back again to the beginning of the Christian life where you had that great joy and excitement. But here's the truth of the Scripture. You can, in fact, go through the Christian life, even through the prisons and the hardships, and come all the way home with joy because someone is praying for you. Because you live a life of loving others, and that's always going to bring you joy. You focus what God has given you on others. And as you grow in godly wisdom through the Scriptures and through obedience to the Lord. And then one day you meet Him You see, all of this comes under the doctrine that we call sanctification. Increasingly becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, mortifying or killing the old sin, and becoming more like the Lord until the day of Christ. When I was a little boy, it was a hymn I used to sing, and throughout all of my pastorate, I've gone back to this simple little gospel song. And it really fits with what Paul is teaching and what I pray the Holy Spirit is teaching you today. Some of you know it, some of you don't. It goes like this. More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. Christian, how does your garden grow? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may God bless you with growth and joy all the way home. Amen.
Faith for Living with Dr. Michael Milton, reaching our broken world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To learn more about the ministry or to partner with us, visit our website at faithforliving.net. Now, your financial support is vital in supporting our mission, and you can make a tax-deductible donation online at faithforliving.net. Your gift may be also sent to Faith for Living, 3122 Fincher Farm Road, Suite 100, Box 552, Matthews, North Carolina, 28105. Or call us toll-free at 1-877-299-6360. That's 877-299-6360. Now, for a limited time, Dr. Milton is offering a free download of his latest music recording. The song is called A Promise is Stronger Than Blood, and you can download the song for free just by visiting our website at faithforliving.net. Well, thank you for joining us today. Now, until next time, may you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ with a living faith and a faith for living.